miserable, stupid, and ignorant persons alive. I've got no desire to meet you. I wish you'd stay home, play your video games, order ice cream and beer to be delivered to your house, and never show your face in public again. I'm talking about those who deny the Holocaust ever occurred. I've never been able to stomach you people, but I especially feel that way now, knowing there's a whole new generation of cowardly butchers and rapists doing their pathetic best to recreate the godforsaken Nazi cruelties that occurred during World War II. What's happening in Israel is not a war. It's a group of demon evil men killing, raping, taking hostages of innocent people, just like in the Holocaust. I hope it continues to make all of you sick and you don't forget it, like we do sometimes. I never will. Hope all of you have a good day. From the Zoom Warm Zone.
Light evening showers will build in, and we'll see that rain pick up overnight, mainly for our southern areas. We will see gradual clearing by tomorrow morning, and the afternoon should be dry. Look for high temperatures today in the low to upper 70s. Tonight, we're down into the lower 50s and lower 60s, with highs in the mid to upper 70s for tomorrow. A front will bring rain Saturday. I'm meteorologist Peter Sherwood in the Weather Center.
And now, the Sandhills' number one morning show. Mornings with the Leader Man. Here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. And heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
Do you know what day it is?
Today is National Coming Out Day.
I'm gay.
Yes, I'm gay.
National Coming Out Day.
Celebrating the LGBTQ plus community.
I'm gay.
Today is National Coming Out Day.
It's all about recognizing people in the LGBTQ plus community and the fight for equal rights.
Coming out is a phrase that many of us have heard, but fewer have had to go through.
Today is not just October 11th. It is also National Coming Out Day.
All right, let's get this show on the road.
Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to the most listened to program in all of the Sandhills. It's time once again for Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams, along with John Zumwalt this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, everybody.
Don't forget, of course, we're being heard around the world on a live audio stream. That's available to you from our website at talk973.com or Talk1041.com or WEEB990.com. Upper right-hand corner of every page has the icon that says On the Air, Listen Live. Click it once and you're listening that quick. All right, it is 8:33, 33 past the hour. On the line, we have a very special guest that we visit with. John, I'll let you do the honors.
Well, I think everyone knows by now the North Carolina State Treasurer, also running for governor, Dale Falwell, become a very good friend of ours. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, Jay-Z, Steve, and the Colonel. How are you?
We're all doing well. When I start trying to figure out what we should talk about, and the things that people need to know, and that's always my number one concern, is what do the people of Moore County need to know, and what can we tell them with our different guests that we have on there that will really make them aware of the different things that will be of use to them. And you are doing a million things. I honestly don't know how you do all of them. But I want to talk with our usual subject last. And I'll let you think about that. But I want to talk about something that's in the news right now. And that's this might be old news somewhat, but the battle between yourself. And when they report on this thing, they never say the treasurer. They always report on Dale Falwell's battle against. As though you were just a private citizen out here just tackling these things. So, but I'm talking about right now the Hanover County and the fact that they want to build I think it's a library, and you've kind of put the nicks on it. And I think a couple of times that's happened. And can you explain to us how that happens, how you get in charge, but mostly how does a town get in such shape that they can't even make their own decisions about things?
Well, thank you. This is called Project Grace.
Yes.
In New Hanover County, it's nothing graceful about it. It's been going on before I was even the treasurer of North Carolina. It came to us before, and I put it on the agenda. There was a motion made, but there was no second to the motion. And that's not just a rock and roll song. It really happened. And therefore, the motion failed. The chair of the county commission at that time said she didn't care if that developer got the business. She had another one picked out. This other developer has now come back to the county and gotten this business to do a new library in downtown Wilmington. I have never opined or have any objection to the need to upgrade a library or a museum. It just seems like every transaction in New Hanover County, it's complicated. This is one of the most prosperous counties in the United States. They have the finances and the tailwind that 87 other counties in this state would love to have right now. They have $350 million in the bank. There was no even need to even borrow money for this transaction. And, for example, the complication is they were going to build a new government center by entering into a partnership that would pay somebody money for decades. Why does a county that has all the economic tailwind of Wilmington, New Hanover, and $350 million in the bank, when interest rates were as low as they were 3 years ago, why do they need to have a partner at all? And, you know, as Warren Buffett always tells us, you know, the simplest, the best transaction should be able to be done with a fat crayon. So at the end of the day, Project Grace did pass at the local government commission on a 5-4 vote. The first vote was recused by a Novant employee, and then she came back and unrecused herself. So now this project is going to go forward. But every transaction in Wilmington, New Hanover County has a level of complication that, in my opinion, is completely unnecessary. And there's been one development company and one person who has their fingerprint on every one of these transactions.
Well, Treasurer, the reason I wanted to bring that up and wanted you to talk about it a little bit, okay, the question is, what does that have to do with Moore County? And here's my answer. My answer is that you've got to elect, and we have, people who understand the economics of this thing better than their citizens do, who will be open and fair with us, who will let us know what is going on. And certainly our commissioner, our county commissioner chair here, and you know him, Nick Paserno, is, Neil Jackson the other day called him a genius on this radio station when it comes to finance, and I believe he is. But he is not the only person on our board. We have a board that thinks for themselves, listens to good logic, and they vote the way they think they should vote. And I think we've got an excellent county commissioner here, and our school board is paying close attention and trying to, they're getting back on track and doing a great job. But the point is, Treasurer, if you don't have people like that in elected office, you can get in trouble very quickly. Would you agree?
Well, I absolutely agree. And it's not just that. These boards and the citizens should demand transparency. And I've been in the news the last 24 hours regarding that issue. As far as the state legislature is concerned, these boards need to have the highest level of competence, the highest level of governance, and most importantly, all the conflicts need to be irrigated, need to be exposed, need to be flushed out.
Well, I really believe that.
Well, conflicts of interest.
Oh yeah. I would like to talk off air sometime about the conflict of interest thing that we've had here for last 2 or 3 years. I think we're breaking through that now, but I don't know the name of the company you're talking about. I wish I did, in Hanover City, but we'll talk about that another time, I reckon. How are your troubles with Spring Lake going?
Well, I just visited Spring Lake the other day on my way to an event. Excuse me, an event in Clinton, North Carolina, not Clinton, Clinton, North Carolina, and got to meet the interim town manager. And it looks like there's a chance that Spring Lake is not going to continue drowning. I think that they are making the right decisions. They're not focused on emotion or politics. They're, in my opinion, they're focused on the mathematics of how they're going to keep their town going. This is the second time in a decade where the local government commission that I chair has had to go in and take over the books of Spring Lake. Some of your listeners may know that I and the state auditor and the U.S. attorney found over $500,000 have been embezzled from that little town. And it feels like when I was there that they're trying to figure out what's right. They're trying to get it right. And I pray to God that they'll keep it right.
Well, as I recall, and I could be wrong, there were some cars missing too, weren't there?
35 missing city vehicles. Most of your weeb listeners would not even have imagined they had 35 city vehicles at all, much less 35 missing city vehicles.
Again, 35 missing city vehicles. Excuse me, folks. That is, again, a great lesson for Moore County, why we've got to elect and why we have elected excellent people who watch over this stuff and have a manager who keeps track of it. Do you think they'll ever get back those any of those vehicles?
Yes, I do. We just handed the keys back over to Robertsonville. Previous to that, Pikeville. A few years ago, the Hosky, where I'm going to visit next week. And so these are examples of when people come together and take politics out of it, take race out of it, take emotion out of it. When they come together to actually attack problems and not attack people, and they have the discipline and the strategy, all things are possible.
Okay, let's switch subjects. We're going to talk about the thing we talk about almost every week, and I'm a little concerned that people will start to say, that's old news, quit talking about it. We don't need to hear about it anymore, but I think we do. I think it's so important because I happen to believe you are a one-man fight against this. And, of course, I'm talking about the medical system. Now, I want you to know that before we went on air, Steve, the owner of the station, has been gone the last 2 days, and he told us about a medical procedure he had. And he talked about, thank God for the nurses and the doctors. They were wonderful, the people who cleaned our rooms. And I've spent quite a bit of time in the hospital over the last year and you know, in and out. And I love the doctors. I love the nurses. I wouldn't give anything for them. The people who clean the rooms are always cheerful. So this what we're going to talk about right now has nothing to do with them. And I also know that you were, during COVID, you came very close. You came within just one last breath of us not having you anymore. So I know that you're very happy with doctors and nurses. But we also know that the doctors and the nurses do not get the kind of pay raises that the folks who run these big, as you call them, cartels get. Eugene Wood, I've heard you mention him. Got folks should know that he got a 473% pay raise since 2015. Now, I don't know what kind of pay raise state workers get, but is it? I'm going to ask you: is it 473,000% in that amount of time?
No, Gene Woods is, based on what we know, and I don't think we know everything, Gene Woods is making over $15 million this year as a nonprofit. And, you know, these are actually corporations who disguise themselves as nonprofits. They don't pay property tax. They don't pay income tax. They don't pay sales tax. And we listeners should be very concerned about that. Those are the three taxes that fund the things that your listeners care about: public education, public safety, public works, and public roads. So my point of saying that to you is that Gene Woods makes over $15 million based on what we know at this point, but these nonprofits, in my opinion, are completely out of control. They've lost their mission. They're supposed to be offering a level of charity care equal to the billions of dollars of local and state and national tax benefit they get. And they're not doing that, and plus they're not transparent on what they charge people. And you're exactly right. We're not talking about the people who saved Steve's life, saved your life, and saved my life. We're talking about these multi-millionaire executives who are making these decisions. And at a snap of a finger could correct a lot of things that are happening with health care in North Carolina. So it's very important that that we continue to put sunshine on this topic, because whether it's Steve, you, or myself, or any of the Weeb listeners, no one consumes health care in this state. It consumes them.
Well, I think you said, it might have been someone else, that it seems like folks like Eugene Wood, the only thing they really do is merge these different companies and raise prices. And as far as trying to up the level of health care we get, I'm just not seeing it from these folks.
Yeah, the national and international studies are very clear, Jay-Z. Quality is going down, access is going down, cost is going up.
All right, I'm going to make a statement here. I've already had some folks disagree with me on this, but I would welcome a listener to come on the radio and tell us why I'm very wrong. In fact, I'd welcome a hospital executive to come on the radio and tell me live why I'm wrong. But, you know, the kind of money that we know our hospitals are making, and when I say our hospitals, the executives who run these things, these cartels, when we all know this to be true, all of us, when you go to the hospital right now, you start at the emergency room. And it's nothing to sit there for 8-9 hours. And then if you... let me make it 4 or 5 hours. And then once you're seen, and even if you're going to be admitted, you may have to sit in that hallway for 3 or 4 hours. And I'm talking about my own experience, and as well as others who I've talked to. And we're building at that hospital, building. They're doing a great job. The rooms are wonderful. But I would like someone to come in here and explain to us why we can't get... use some of that money to get our times down in the emergency room and be seen at a you know, where it's not so inconvenient. There are a lot of people listening right now who are saying, yes, that's right. And there are others who are saying, no, you're wrong, Zoom Walt. Well, I'd like to see someone come on here and explain that to me. But meanwhile, I think that, if I'm not mistaken, your fight, your almost single-handed fight and almost single-handedly brought this out to the light of day, is that we need to...
Well, exactly right. And, you know, I'm the keeper of the public purse, the state treasurer of North Carolina. When I put my left hand on the Bible and raise my right hand, is to is to be loyal and exercise a duty of care to our public servants and our taxpayers. You know, it's the Attorney General of North Carolina, Josh Stein, who hasn't done his job. He has approved all these mergers. He has overseen the cartelization of health care in our state. Our citizens are now under siege. And whether it's on this issue or the issue I was in federal court over 2 weeks ago, where taxpayers are being forced to pay for sex transition operations through the state health plan, I mean, these are matters where we need an attorney general who actually does their job.
Well, this would be a good time for me. I'm not speaking for anyone but myself here to put in a plug for Dan Bishop. We hopefully he'll be our next attorney general, and we really need him. I think it's going to be a battle, but I really am hoping for Dan Bishop to be elected here, and I hope folks will keep their eyes and ears peeled for a whole lot more about him. Treasurer, what do you see we had Neil Jackson and our county commissioner on last week, and Neil had nothing but praise for the state of our state, and that we're doing well, and we've got plenty of money. Do you agree with that?
Well, yes, and you know, I have a great relationship with Representative Jackson. He has really hit the ground running as a freshman, and I'm very proud of the fact that he understands that the root word of conservative is to conserve. Neil Jackson understands the root word of representative is to represent. These are verbs. These aren't nouns. I've never seen Representative Neil Jackson in any situation where he wanted to be called something. The situations I've seen him in is where he wants to do something. And he's exactly right. NC does stand for nothing compares, based on the employers and taxpayers and the discipline, not just of this, but previous General Assemblies, to give me the tools I needed to be on the path right now to pay off, retire 60% of the state debt, which is a far cry from what we see going on at the federal level.
Well, I agree with you. He's a good man, a great friend, and I hope he continues to, I hope he will be elected every time he runs. He's doing a great job, and he will be the first to tell you.
Forward, and you talked about transparency, and I made news yesterday regarding this legislation that was in the budget that exempted the General Assembly from open records laws. I don't think that's good for government. I don't think that's good for democracy, and I know a lot of people are talking about that. So it's not just transparency in New Hanover County, Wilmington. It's not just transparency as far as health care, but it's transparency as far as the workings of the General Assembly.
Well, I agree with you. I couldn't possibly agree more, and especially from time to time we do break a story on here, and to lose that tool is not good. It's not good for the people. It's never good for the people when you lose transparency.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to talk about?
No, that's it. Just I so appreciate the opportunity to come on here every couple of weeks. As your listeners know, this is my last term as the state treasurer of North Carolina. I now have two jobs. One is, number one, doing my job. I'm not going to shirk my responsibilities. I'm not going to be AWOL. I must show up and do my job. And secondly is the job to apply to be the CEO of North Carolina, which is to be the next governor of North Carolina. And I just appreciate the opportunity to speak to the Weeb listeners like adults. And I think what they generally hear makes common sense.
All right, Treasurer. Well, I don't see how we can possibly get you off the air without telling people they've got money in the bank. And I know they're getting tired of hearing it, but some of them do, and they don't realize it. And if I could go to each person listening right now and do it for them, I would, because I know that some of them have some money. Explain that to us.
Well, nccash.com, there's still $1 billion sitting at nccash.com, and it's generally where somebody tried to mail your Weeb listeners a check that they did not get or did not receive. And there's no charge to look it up. There's no charge to make a claim. I was speaking to the Farm Bureau last night in Davie County. We have something like 57 farm bureaus that have still have money at NC Cash. So they, your Weeb listeners should not think about this in terms of individual. They should think about their church, the Little League baseball team, their business name, their PTA, their maiden name, their grandparents' name, their kids' names. We, thanks to Weeb listeners and the job that y'all do to get this message out, we smashed all records, paying out $110 million last year at nccash.com. And oftentimes people will come up to me at events and said, oh, I looked at that a few years ago. Well, we've taken another $800 million since a few years ago. And somebody said that to me last night, and I looked up their name, and they had two entries sitting at nccash.com. So even though you may have looked at it in the past, it's time to look at it again.
Well, it's funny because a friend of mine called me 2 weeks ago probably and said, hey, you got money? You got money sitting there. I'm like, no, I've already gotten it. I think I got two checks. I can't remember. But he said, well, you've got some more. I need to go look again. But, folks, this is not a lottery. It's not a gamble. It's not like maybe you win, maybe you won't. You either have money in there or you do not have money in there, and you're going to be surprised. As the treasurer said, it can be an old insurance check. It can be a fee that you put down but you got back and you're not aware of it. It could be anything. And some of these are pretty huge, aren't they, treasurer?
Well, they are. I've written two checks this year for $1.7 million each, one to a business and one to a couple, $1.7 million each. So it's just a great opportunity for your listeners to go there.
One more thing. If you get a letter in the mail, folks, and it says you have money at NC Cash, pay us a certain fee and we will get it for you. Ignore that letter, tear it up, go there yourself. You do not need those people. They've already checked. They know you have money, and they're trying to profit off of you. Is that correct, Treasurer?
Well, that's exactly right. There's no charge to look it up, no charge to make a claim. The money stays there forever. And if you have any listeners that have lived in other states, they need to go to their equivalent of nccash.com.
All right. Well, Treasurer, thank you. Look, I know how busy you are, and I always appreciate you making time. And my hope is that it's of some value for the listeners of more counties. This is just for them, and I think it is. But we always appreciate you taking time to talk to us, and be safe, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Treasurer, and for the rest of you. Time to beat up John real quick. Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Oh, my.
Short on time, so I'm going to talk over the music. Following questions come from a standard fifth grade curriculum in the U.S. Answer 4 out of 5, or you ain't got the sense of a fifth grader. What part of the computer represents information going to the computer? Is the modem, input, or ROM?
Well, it's going into it. It'd have to be the input.
That's right. What do we call a person who comes from one country to live in another? A tourist, a parrot, a patriot, or I call them illegal immigrant. They say immigrant.
Well, I was going to say parrot, doggone it, but if you come to live there, you would not be a tourist. You would be, and you wouldn't, you're certainly not a parrot, you'd be an immigrant.
Yep. Real quick, treating people unfairly just because they look different from us or believe differently from us is called segregation, discrimination, or freedom.
Discrimination.
Let's see. Yep, that's right. All right. So it goes for this Wednesday. Have yourself a great, safe day. We'll see you back bright and early tomorrow for a Thumping Thursday with the Leader Man. Until then, be sure to support all the mom and pop businesses you hear on our airwaves, because they are the backbone of our economy here in Moore County. Your money will stay here, roll over, and create jobs. And don't forget also that please give our local merchants, particularly the ones you hear on WEEB, first crack at your spending dollars before wandering off to a mega mall, because that helps our economy. We need to support local, and we can defeat any economy that Bubba up there in the White House throws at us. All right? And if you'd like to become a WEEBS advertiser, just give me a call. All right, we'll see you at the dog park.
When I come back, you'd better be laughing.
So, what have we learned? Heck, I don't know. But this is one crazy show. Bye now.